Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Okay, so we are back. And one thing I want to help you with, because I understand that every once in a while, I need to probably do this more than just once, because we get hit with some form of denial of service. Don't know, don't have the money to investigate for doing the forensics and that type of stuff. And I'm sure the government isn't going to help us determine who it is that's shutting this show down. But it only happens to this show on Red State Talk Radio. It's talk to management. And it was kind of presumed that maybe it was something on my end. Maybe I was getting shut down, because it's not like, you know, I have any ghosts in my machines or anything else. But anyway, we apologize when we get knocked out. But I'm telling you that that's how important our message is, that we would be hit and we would be targeted. I know that Alex Jones has been targeted. I know other people have been targeted because they hit people like the Chinese and so forth, maybe under the belt. But anyway, we actually have to connect to a server outside the United States. I may have mentioned before, but it's probably best that I don't. Bottom line is when we connect to that, we actually have a mechanism in place that if I can't connect, that my show would actually just go out then, because it would be picked up by Red State Talk Radio from the headquarters in D.C. Anyway, I'm just trying to help you understand this. Because something's happening to me, the server is not notifying D.C., or at least D.C.'s not saying, hey, there's nobody there, let's air a program. Because they have one of my shows in the queue to actually broadcast. And so they have a few of my shows in a queue to broadcast. So when one gets broadcast, then they'll do the next one, just in case something happens to me, like a natural disaster or what have you, and I'm not able to get on air. They've got these shows that they hold that they can, you know, start putting out. Anyway, or broadcasting, I should say. But anyway, bottom line is that for some reason, and there's no predictable circumstances. As a matter of fact, since we made some changes, it had been a while since I'd been knocked off the air. And I thought, okay, maybe it was me. Because we actually made these changes. And I go, well, maybe we've got a rock solid configuration now with no latencies within our internal network and so forth. We fixed the problem. Maybe there was some ghost in our system, but nonetheless, no. And so anyway, we apologize when you do tune in and you can't get this show. That must mean something, because it's not a coincidence that this is the only show that is not being broadcast. And so anyway, let me just apologize one more time profusely, because without you, we want to thank you for tuning in. And without you, we probably would not be on the air, because, you know, Red State wants to have people that bring an audience and offer some content that is really unique to help, you know, capture that niche in the market or what have you. There's no doubt in my mind that there's nobody on the air that is actually purporting or asserting any real solution. You know, there's all these guys, we're exonerated, you know, like the grandstanding regarding Flynn, the grandstanding regarding the impeachment. You know, all of this political positioning is just a waste of your time. We're still going into this collision course. And oh, by the way, what we're dealing with now, remember a while ago, I gave you this metaphor that we had all these trains bearing down into the station from every different angle, 360 degrees, 360 trains, all bearing down into the station. Well, the trains are arriving, folks, and this is what's happening. What is it going to take to get you to get involved? I don't know. That's why, there's lots of people that say, there's not enough good Americans to stand up. And I maybe I'm lot. Maybe I just don't see it. Maybe I really do believe that there are enough people that are so fed up that are willing to actually listen and understand, there is this thing. It's Republic Review. This will actually force, because first we have to recognize that the problem is the government. First, we have to recognize that they are so outside the confines of the Constitution that even the states are outside the confines of the Constitution. And so what we're trying to do in the last couple of episodes, we've been bringing you to this conclusion. And these next few episodes are going to be kind of like a logical process of how it has been for me in working through and working with the NLA and some of their counterparts like Brent Winters and so forth to come to this epiphany as to we actually have a catalyst. If you're looking for a catalyst, we have it. And as you tune in this week, we're going to slowly put the pieces in place and we're slowly going to disclose, later on in the last couple of episodes of this week, we're going to get into the meat of the matter and what is that catalyst. This is the only show that provides academic-based solutions with academic evidence of what our problems are and where we need to go. Sorry, there's lots of people that are really entertaining. They come up with these brilliant little, what do they call those sound bites and cliches? And they just, they get the award of the year for the guy that said, shovel ready or whatever. As far as I'm concerned, the award of the year last year should have been due process. And it seems like it's even trickled into this year. Whoever really started that concept, due process, it just kills me. And I want to focus because we've got John Durash in this segment. We've got a follow-on interview to the last episode. And then tomorrow we will have the next and the final episode or the interview that I have with John Durash so far so that you can hear, or actually, I've got my days mixed up. Actually, today is the day. Yesterday was the second or the middle or in our previous episode. And today is the day where we actually are going to be closing with John Durash. And he basically, I'm going to tell you what he's going to tell me is we're going to, I need to talk to Brent Winters because Brent Winters really understands this and can paint the picture really well. So we have Brent Winters on in our next episode. Today, we're going to play an interview that was so long, we ended up cutting it up so that we could get it into a reasonable time frame for the show. Because I can't play an hour and a half interview, or it actually was, it was over my allotted time. So I had to cut it down. And so wanted to give you kind of the meat of the matter, and that way you could kind of judge for yourself. There's a little pause in the middle because John ends up having to take a telephone call, but yeah, it was definitely over an hour. Anywho, you're going to find that there are hard, tangible facts and factors regarding grand juries, common law grand juries, what I've been calling citizen grand juries. So we're going to get into this. And so I know that you've learned a lot of things regarding the Constitution, the amendments, and principles, and everything else. Again, I promise this will all start coming to clarity for you when we get into the next two episodes. The next two episodes, I don't want to say they're going to be heaven parting, but you should have the epiphany by the end of these next two episodes of this is actually the catalyst that we can use for Republic Review. Anyway, also want you to know that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and RepublicReview.org. And as well, we do have, I don't do this enough, but I do have a little bit of time left. We have a sponsor, and it is Red State Coffee. So if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, that's where you can find the Red State Coffee that you can buy. You have a link to it, and it'll take you to eBay and so forth. It's sad that, you know, I'm quarantining, or I'm boycotting eBay because of their association with PayPal and PayPal's draconian measures. And I don't want to get into it because it's more of a personal thing. But anyway, it's ironic that the company's footprint and storefront, let's say, is on eBay. So anyway, go to Red State, or go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can get your Red State Coffee. I also want to say this, because I don't get to say this that often, and we may actually have a listener discussion, because I've had a listener call, or not call, but I get listeners to send me emails and so forth, and every once in a while we'll actually have a listener on the phone and we'll talk to them, or actually they ask questions and I try to answer them. You're more than welcome, and the welcome mat is always out. You're more than welcome to email us. You're more than welcome to, you know, if you're that interested, you want to call and have a, you know, a dedicated discussion. Even though this isn't live, we will make the time for you, especially if you've got really good questions. And we're not looking for accolades. We just want to have the dialogue. And so anyway, we will be right back with John Duresh. And then after that, we'll do a sum up to prepare you for our next episode. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Magistrates. It could be run by the coroner. It could be run by the sheriff. So there is different ways that court could run. It doesn't have to have a judge. But the purpose of that position, which we use and is authoritative, is a magistrate. And the purpose of that position is only to have someone that keeps the case moving in a proper order. So it's sort of like traffic cop. And at the end of the day, he's supposed to exercise the will of the decision of the tribunal, which is, of course, the jury. And so when they write down the will of the jury, puts a seal and a signature on it, passes it to the sheriff for execution. And that's the process. Now, we have a lot of stuff. I mean, everything I do and write has sources, you know. So if you go to these papers, it's just full of footnotes and leads you to the different cases or history or whatever. Now, a lot of the footnotes really help to give a meaning to certain words or phrases. Okay, so like when we use a United States Supreme Court ruling, generally speaking, we're really using it in order to express the meaning of a particular phrase or word that we're using there. In other words, common law does not operate under precedent, is my point. It's not a collection of court cases.
Right.
Because, you know, in common law, there is a maxim, and the maxim is a thing similar is not necessarily the same thing. So no matter how close a case looks to another, you can't use that to leverage any kind of anything in another case because it's so similar, because the key word is similar. It's not exactly the same thing. Facts are different. The geographical area is different. The individuals involved is different. The mindsets are different. I mean, it's just different. So no matter how well it looks, it's irrelevant. So they operate under precedence under civil law. Civil law does it all the time. And they've been doing that in equity, too, which they should not be doing it in equity either. Everything, again, because equity is also a common law process. And we're under what's called American jurisprudence, which is a collection of knowledge concerning, you know, the different court cases focused particularly on the authority and the jurisdiction of the judge, how far they can go and how far where they can't go. And so that's what all that is really about. It's not controlling the case. So, instance, I remember when Roberts was running, you know, was being chosen at the as a United States Supreme Court justice, and he was before Congress, and he was being questioned, and he spoke often about precedents. Okay, you know, because they wanted to know what his opinion was and where he was going to go with Roe versus Wade, for instance, which is an unlawful, you know, decision to begin with. They didn't have the authority to rule on that, on issues. And they certainly didn't have the authority to take, you know, God's domain. That's a law case. That belongs in a court of law, not a court of equity. I mean, you know, when you go read Article 1, Section 8, which lays out the authority of the legislators, you know, we give them the guidelines, the boundaries.
Right.
You'll find nothing in there we gave them permission to discuss and make decisions on issues, number one, and clearly we didn't give them any power or authority to make a decision on law.
Right.
So what they did is they went into God's court, pulled out issues that belongs to God's court, and decided themselves. The whole thing was unlawful. And therefore, and through that, they turned God's law on its head and they made lawful, murder lawful, because I don't know what your position is on it. Mine is a biblical position. It's murder when you kill a child. It doesn't matter. You know, once that babe in that womb, at conception, in that first separation, it already, and as a matter of fact, God speaks of that living soul long before even conception or even the birth of that mother, go all the way back to creation, ultimately. Before
right.
creation, God speaks of knowing us. And then he speaks of knowing us in the womb. And so from God's perspective, you know, as soon as conception takes place, there's a living soul in there. That's a child. So a lot of people don't want to hear that.
But, no, and actually, know. So I actually agree with you. And actually, I even look at the point of inception is not necessarily when the egg has become fertilized, but when two people choose to actually join in procreation to have a child, whether it is to have a child or whether it is recreational, it really doesn't matter. When two people make that decision, then they have to understand that the outcome can be and likely will be a baby. And so there's some people that are, you know, not necessarily blessed with the ability to procreate because of medical problems or what have you. But that act is a very sacred and special act when a man and a woman cleave and go into that the creation process. So anyway, I completely agree with you. And again, back to you're saying that the Magna Carta is probably the best starting point for England.
The Magna Carta is the best starting point to a degree. Okay.
Okay.
You know, because it's more detailed. It's not that it's more detailed, but it's the exercise of the power and authority in action, and you're seeing that through the Magna Carta. You know.
Right.
They tell the king to stop his nonsense. He doesn't listen. They come together. The 25 come together.
Right.
You know, they probably sent the four out first, and the king told them to go to hell or whatever. And the 25 came together and decided, we're going to go take them out.
Now, you
and
say the 25.
They put them on the road.
Right. Huh? When you say the 25, now you're talking about the citizens or very specific people, the 25.
Well, they were called the freemen. Okay, and remember, even back then, they had different levels of people. And of course, that was an error of their thinking or their ways. It was the way that everything was constructed, I guess. I don't know. This goes back even further than this. It goes back ultimately to the Norsemen, to the Germanic tribes, because that's where it came down from. And you know, what's his name? Brent traces all this right back to the Germanic tribes.
Okay.
And so, I think your stuff, if you really want to get a good start on this, I would say the best, because you have enough knowledge of things that you can deal with and understand the meaning of words and phrases and put things together. I would say go to the Common Law, the Excellence of the Common Law book, read through that, and he'll lead you into the Bible and the Magna Carta and everything.
Well, so let me actually explain to you what we're trying to do, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to get sheriffs. So I guess that takes me down this really a quick tangent. Clearly, the sheriff and the county prosecutor has the authority to call for and summon a grand jury, a citizen's grand jury.
They're ignorant to that knowledge.
But they do have the authority.
Of course, absolutely. But the de facto courts may not agree with that, of course, because they're not liking that. Look at... When I went to see a sheriff, we indicted judges, seven judges down in New York City. They were responsible for all the courts of New York. It was called the Unified Court System. And so we went all the way down to deal with those people. And they gave us a hard time. And we ended up indicting those judges. And then we went to a sheriff and spoke with a sheriff. Let me rephrase that. We indicted another judge up in Greene County. And let me take it. Was it Greene County? Could have been on this side of the river, but let's just say Greene County. We indicted a judge up there. And clearly he was guilty and of crimes. And we brought that to the sheriff. And we wanted to see what the sheriff could do with us. And we spoke with him. And he said he couldn't go out and make an arrest on a judge without going through the prosecutor. He saw clearly the crime, and he didn't disagree with that. But he said, you got to go talk to the prosecutor. Now, the sheriff doesn't understand. Since when does a sheriff go talk to a lawyer to discover what he's going to do to exercise his duty, his constitutional duty? That doesn't even make sense. So the prosecutor wasn't elected sheriff. He was. And so... You know, you look in the out west and, you know, a lot of movies and stuff and the way things, were supposed to be anyway, generally speaking. You know, it was always the sheriff who would bring it before the jury. They'd get the posse maybe, and then they'd bring the jury together, the grand jury. They'd get his conviction first maybe or whatever.
Right.
And then, his indictment. And then the judge, the circuit judge, would come around and they'd call a trial jury and they'd have a trial.
Okay, so that begs a question. Does the county prosecutor, who is an elected position, do they also have the ability, 9 times out of 10, because of their association with the bar, because they're probably likely either, one, ignorant, like you said about the sheriffs, or two, they're not willing to take the court's grasp because of the Enabling Act and the way they've tried to marginalize the citizen's grand jury. It's not likely, but they do have the authority to call for a citizen's grand jury as well, right?
Well, again, you don't want to call it a citizen's grand jury. You want to call it a common law grand jury.
Okay.
Or a natural law common
okay.
jury. Yes, I don't see a problem. Anybody has the ability, anybody, no matter who it is, has the ability to go see the grand jury. Of course, they block people. They won't allow you to see the grand jury. You can only see the prosecutor and only under his influence and information would he take you into the grand jury. And he'll only use that person that wants to deal with the grand jury as a witness to bring in a case that he wants to bring an indictment about. But the problem is first of all, the big problem is that if our attorneys, the civil law people, they live under statutes. They don't know common law. They don't understand common law. And they don't know our history. They don't know our heritage. But in any event, they should not be controlling the grand jury. The only way this is going to work is that the people themselves who is to control the court themselves and make the decision to decide both facts and law, and also decide on the punishment, which should always be with an eye on restitution. This is all the people's job. This is the people's court. This is judged by your peers.
Right. So that begs a question then, because being a Republican form of government, there has to be some form of representation. Now, whether that's the sheriff, who's an elected official and representing the people, because he's elected by the people, or the county commissioners, who are the sovereigns or the legislators for the county, they would be the representatives. So it wouldn't be the people, you know, actually creating the court themselves. They would actually have to.
No, that's not true. No,
that would be a democracy, though. Wouldn't that be?
Magna Carta was done in action.
Yeah, but that would be a democracy when the people take the matters into their own hands. That's like mob rule.
No. Look, someone has got to call the grand jury. Someone has got to some degree, screen the grand jury, screen it with properly, okay? And there's very little questions you can ask the grand jury, very, very little. You know, do you know the defendant? Do you know whatever, the victim? You know, if there's knowledge of knowing those people, they can't sit on that jury. But the point is this. Go look at the Magna Carta and see what they did. They had enough of it. They came together and they indicted and they went out after him. And, you know, they were going beyond. And they, and again, you know, because they put the sword to his head, sign it, or we're going to put this, you know, take your head. And he signed it. But later on, they repented because that was wrong. Okay. They could have been indicting him and brought him into court. And remember, it was, if you go back into history again, you can read about this in Brent's book. It was the people who chose the king. Okay, and one king, when a king dies, his children didn't become king or anybody in his bloodline. They choose another king. This all got lost as time went on, and things changed. And this all is because of Babylonian law, civil law, Roman law, Justinian law. They're all the same thing, and so that all changed. Now the way it's supposed to be, the only way you cannot have a public servant in control of this. You can't put the fox in charge of the hen house. Yeah, they can run their own court systems under equity, but they have no business in courts of law. None whatsoever. And remember, you know, if you go into Black's Law, you could discover this. I'm sure it's many places. All judges are magistrates. Okay. So a judge that sits in an equity court and makes a ruling, one single jurist, whether you can have an appeal system, an appellate process, and that's all lawful in that system of equity, judging individuals working in government agencies and offices and so on and so forth, or commercial activities and interstate and commercial activities and so on. So all of that is where they sit. Now, when they come into a court of law, again, they're only a traffic cop, and they got to do the will of the jury, and they cannot influence the jury. You get to decide the facts. I'll tell you what the law means. No, they cannot influence them. So therein is the problem. Only the people can do this, and that's why we're building administrations in every county for people, okay, for individuals who are representative for the juries. They will call the jury if the sheriff wants to see the jury. You know, they call the jury forward, and the grand jury is always be in position. Okay, maybe you'll be depending on how much business is going on. I mean, down in New York City, you might be in the grand jury for a week. Period. Of course, they go for months, and it gets ridiculous. But hang on a minute. Let me get this real quick.
Sure, right? Go ahead. And while you do that, I will just take a quick pause. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'm back.
Okay. I want to thank you again for your time. But let me give you the other piece to the puzzle here, because what I am trying to do is we get the sheriff to convene a grand jury. Instead of indicting a person, I believe, because understanding Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, it is not a crime. It is a qualification that if you take the oath to office and you violate that oath, you are no longer qualified. In other words, there's no due process. All you have to do is prove that something is against the law, and any elected official that has acted as such, which would be a violation of their oath of office, they are no longer qualified. And so what I believe the sheriff can do, and I believe that this is what we're trying to push for, is we're trying to get the sheriffs to actually convene a grand jury to create or to come out with, if you want to call it a verdict or an indictment, that anybody that suspends the constitutional rights of a citizen that is in public office, whether they be governor, legislature, anybody who votes and or supports the unconstitutional suspension of the individual privileges and immunities guaranteed by the Constitution, then they have violated their oath of office and therefore are no longer qualified and must be removed. If they come out with that indictment or decision, then they can literally create a laundry list of everybody, the governors and mayors and everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is the process. Absolutely. That's what we teach here. We make that point. That's how we have government by consent. Look, if Congress is not going to take care of business and get rid of these bad judges or get rid of the bad senators or even congressmen through their process, if they're not going to do it, we the people have every right to do it, and we can do it through indictment. There's two ways people can remove people from office. One, they can just remove them, and the other way, they can remove them for criminal activities. Violating their oath would be a criminal activity and a reason to indict and remove them from office. Indictment will it'll remove them from office. They'll have to vacate their office. We could try to hold that position for a while and do sort of, if they were found innocent, that they can go back, but I don't know about that part. I think that's a problem. But in any event, they can indict, and that's how one way to remove someone from office. I mean, we are seriously considering indicting. We have to do this. We don't have a choice. If the United States Supreme Court does not become subservient to the people and obey the Constitution and bring back courts of law and stop concealing courts of law and correct all these people that they have the authority to correct, it's up to them to make the correction and to do mandamuses and to remove these judges if they don't obey the mandamus, because they can be indicted and then be removed.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So that's one way we can get rid of these bad people,
right,
through indictments. The other way is through the committee man, through recall. You can remove anyone in office within 90 days in a process of recall.
So what I'm actually laying out here on the table here, because this is why I came to you in the first place, because as you understand what I'm doing, I'm trying to get trying to get the federal government into full compliance of the Constitution and getting them out of all of the things they have no jurisdiction over: abortion, marriage, agriculture, energy, all of these things.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree 100%.
Right. And so I believe we can actually start in these dark red states getting sheriffs who actually understand the Constitution and actually call a...
Yeah, but what you're doing is you're trying to construct a group of people, and you're going to have to get quite a few of them to bring this into the high level, you know, to a national level.
Let me finish this. So if I get a couple of grand juries and they all agree that these stay home orders are violations of the Constitution, and they literally create this laundry list of every public servant in the state and even outside of the state that have all violated that are no longer qualified, then you have a few grand juries going to the state attorney general and saying these people are no longer qualified, because we're in an election year, John, and we can actually push this to where
I understand what you're trying to do by getting a couple of grand juries to do this. You only need one to begin with.
Understand.
And you do want to get a unique look at, we did what we did the way we did it to get a unique grand jury and start doing something about the problem. We've been in session for years now.
Right.
We've been in the courts and filing in the courts for 3 or 4 years now, over 3 years anyway. And the process we did was we created grand juries in every single state and then came together and formed the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury to deal with this, all these enemies, foreign and domestic, within our government that needs to be dealt with.
Right.
And so, you know, actually when we call for a grand jury hearing, you know, we can get 100 people, we can get 50 people. You know, whoever responds, as long as we get a minimum of 25. And all of our people were not from one area, you know, a little spot here in New York or something, in New Jersey. No, we're from every single state of the union, and we're from many, many counties spread out throughout the whole United States, the entire nation. So, you know, we can consider an indictment for you.
Right. So,
and if you bring a sheriff to bring it to us, that would be really good.
Right. Yeah. So the reason I believe that it would take a couple, because I honestly believe that most state attorney generals will disregard a single grand jury, a common law grand jury.
I don't care what they do.
So what we do want is we want to create it's like one person complaining about something or one county complaining about something. It doesn't overwhelm you, but when you get enough squeaking, it can actually force that general, that attorney general to actually take action and unseat all of these elected officials. It'll actually create a crisis if you look at how many people are no longer qualified to be in public office because they committed moral perjury. Then, and they'll go, oh, okay, so we've got a real problem here. But what we want to do is make it very clear that if they are not in full compliance to the Constitution, they are committing moral perjury. And we start with this, because down the road, we can actually start expanding what is compliance to the Constitution. Because we're only looking at this one thing, and then all of a sudden, well, hold it, is taking money from the federal government that they have no jurisdiction over, is that in compliance to the Constitution?
Almost everything government does is unlawful. I mean, it's just especially federal.
I understand that. But what I'm trying to do is I actually think
the problem you're going to have is you're going to have to find an attorney general who is a lawyer, okay? It's a required prerequisite to be that. You have to be a lawyer. You have to have gone to law school because you have to understand the law. And the law that they have to understand particularly is code violations, whether it be the state attorney general understanding the state code level for equity and also or the federal level, but also to appreciate and understand the common law. And that's where
right.
they all fail.
Okay, well,
if they're a bar attorney, you'd have to get someone like Brent Winters who was not bar taught. Okay, he's not taught law by any bar process. He went to a school that was disconnected from that. And there's still some schools out there, but they're far and in between and hard to find. And he did take his bar test, so he's a bar attorney also. But he was schooled in both equity and law. So he's got a common law, and he's done common law research. So if you were to find an attorney general or someone that is under that influence and understands to do the right thing, that's one thing. But I will tell you, and I've spoke to many lawyers, I've spoke to many judges, I've spoke to quite a few people out of the Attorney General's office here up in Albany, and none of them have a clue on anything we talk about. It's all like, you know, the eyes glaze over. It's like deer caught in the headlight when we bring up the things we bring up.
Right.
They tell us, and they are true believers of this. Remember, they're the minions of the New World Order. It's going to be hard to find a person that you're thinking, but if you can find them, God bless you.
Right.
But, you know, they're there. They're the minions of the New World Order. They're there to maintain the status quo. And in my opinion, they're all guilty of RICO. I mean, it's all about money and,
right.
and corruption and protecting each other's rear ends and so on and so forth.
Right. Well, so...
Okay.
I'm actually at a hard limit myself because I'm going to be going on air in just a few. So I need to wrap this up. What I'd like to do is actually continue this conversation. And obviously I need to talk to Brent as well then.
Well, you know what? I'll see when you call me. Maybe I'll be able to pull Brent in. Okay. Usually when I call him, he's available.
Okay. Great, because I'm trying to kind of create a picture by painting by colors type of thing and make it very simple for the people to understand, the sheriff to understand, and get them acting.
Because, well, you see, therein is the problem.
Yes.
That's been our problem. I mean, look, we've been at this for 6-7 years now. I think it's 6 years. And it's ignorant people. They don't understand what we're talking. And we're talking about not just lawyers. We're talking sheriffs, too.
Yeah, but I believe that even though they may be ignorant, and there's reasons why, because of the indoctrination.
If you can get them to come along and woo them. We do have some sheriffs that's been worked on by a couple of people here in our group. And we're going to train people on how to woo a sheriff, bring them into the system, and connect them with the people in the local, and to educate them. First of all, they need to understand. They need to be educated.
Yeah,
you know, it's not what we know that's going to hurt us. It's what we think we know and isn't so that's going to get us in the butt.
Right.
And that is the problem out there. They always go, when it comes to a law thing, unless it's one of the just repetitive things that they do throughout the day, you know, when it comes to some kind of a legal question or concern, they don't go to their constitution and try to figure out what needs to be done. They go to a bar attorney who has no understanding of the constitution or the common law, and I mean that literally. They have no understanding, appreciation, or desire. I know my brother went to law school, and he's not practicing though, but he did go to law school, and I asked him some questions, and one of the questions I asked him was about the Constitution. They said they didn't even deal with the Constitution when he went to law school. And they, two things that they don't do in law school, at least the bar schools anyway. Okay, they just talk a little bit about the Constitution, and they kind of give you a brief overview, this, that, and the other thing, but they never get into it. They teach you statutes, regulations, and particularly statutes and code. And again, it depends on where you're going, is federal or state.
Right.
And of course, you know, that's an extensive, that extends into their further knowledge. And these people are all, you know, in my opinion, they're dumb. They really are. I mean, I see their paperwork, they're sloppiness. Very rarely do I see any good paperwork from a lawyer. And,
hey, John? I hate to cut you off, but I really got to get going. I've got just a few minutes. Let's connect tomorrow, and if we can get Brent in, that'd be great. Tomorrow, let's try it early. Let's say about 1 o'clock your time.
Hang on a minute. That should be good. I might have something come up here.
Okay.
Today's Wednesday.
Well,
right?
we can work. Let's find a good time tomorrow.
No, I got a meeting with some people for PowerPoints at 10 a.m. So tomorrow afternoon's good.
Okay, great. We'll work it out, and we'll hopefully be able to get further into this. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Talk to you later.
You bet. Bye now. Okay, so folks, we'll be right back after these two promos. I think it's actually one promo, but we're putting the pieces back together for you because these are things that we've either been ignored or the education system has deliberately kept these things out. I'm running out of time here, so when we get back on the break, back from this promo, we will be able to get to all the pieces. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So believe it or not, I really do love, you know, compression time and, you know, these time schedules. Because obviously, as I just kind of muffed at the very end there, and again, I don't care about the polished presentation of these shows. What I care about is the underlying content, the underlying message. It's once consistent, it is well-based, and so forth. So anyway, as we started laying these things out, and this is what I was really trying, I was trying to rush to get this out. I don't know how you act. A lot of people, when under pressure, you got to get something done really quick. Nine times out of ten, you start making mistakes. So forgive me, but I knew that the out to break was coming. And so anyway, there's a reason why you have not been taught the details regarding your Constitution. Once you understand the well-defined and the checks and balances that were within that Constitution and the intent behind it, how can you not see the divine hand of providence or the DNA of the divine hand of providence within the system? So the question was for me, well, okay, so I know where the problems are and I know what we need to do, and getting some of these things moving, we're missing some of that. And so as I started really looking, because clearly if you look within the Constitution actually gives you all the little teeth, all the little pieces, all the little bites that are necessary. And it's not a coincidence that those things are there. And what I mean by that is if you read the Constitution, actually in the Bill of Rights, it's the Seventh Amendment. A lot of people don't know or read we do, and you have listened to this, but most people, they just skim over those things. It's the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. Because you're so focused, and as a matter of fact, this goes to the power of controlled opposition. These organizations that want you to focus only on the Second Amendment, only on the First Amendment, they make you gloss over or completely miss some of these details. But the Seventh Amendment says this: in suits at common law. Now, you've heard me say many times before that the general government was not designed to dictate the type of law. But every state in the Union at that time, all 13 states, and every state that joined the Union except for Louisiana, implemented common law as the law of the land. Now, they didn't necessarily put it in their constitution, but the good Lord and it. What I'll just have to say, the good Lord, the divine hand of providence, made sure that there were the correct traces, the correct teeth that were placed. And so the Seventh Amendment clarifies that in suits of common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury will be preserved. And no fact tried by jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Now, they're not just talking about as they've determined what the law, the common law is for the day. They're talking about the very specific system of common law. And so, when you read through the Constitution, actually not the Constitution, the ratification debates on the Constitution, and I've highlighted a lot of these, what I want to do, because
as we went through the ratification debates before, I've never focused myopically on one very specific subject. So whenever they use the word common law, in what context were they using it? Were they using it to how it's being defined today as, well, it's just the common law of the day? No, it is a very specific system. And the way they talk about it, you can tell it is very precious. But the fact is, because we've been indoctrinated and because nobody's ever learned about common law, it is almost like speaking French. It's almost like speaking, well, if you're from France or you study France, it's easy. But let's just say it's a foreign language you've never heard and you don't know anything about it or its culture. As you will learn, as we get into this in our next episode, in the next two episodes, and we've covered this a little bit before, you're going to realize that these things are, it's innate within us, it's innate within our culture, and it's innate within our the principles of our founding. It is all based upon individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And that's, to me, that is, again, more evidence of the divine hand of providence putting his fingerprints, putting his mark on our system. There's no doubt in my mind, we were given everything we needed for these days. If we want to wake up and recognize what we have all the teeth, all the power, and the authority necessary to get our Constitution and our Republic back. Now, when I say a republic, nine times out of 10, most people think that it is our form of government. I'm just talking about the physical land, the nation. I don't like referring to the nation because it marginalizes the components of the republic. We do not have a republic government. We have a hybrid constitutional republican form of government. So there's a big difference. But I like using the term republic over the term nation because there's, but with both ways, there's different ways that you can look at them badly. And I would much rather use republic badly than nation, because nation is basically a galumphry or an amalgamation of all the states that have melted into one, and that the states are just administrative forms when that was never the intent or the design. If you look at the republic, it's almost the same way, but we get into this in the upcoming episode. And this is why I cover the fact, do we have a confederacy or a federation? What kind of republic do we have? And technically, we have a confederacy republic. Most people, when you hear republic, they think of federation type of republic, and that is wrong. Rome was a federation type of public. America is a hybrid constitutional confederacy. That's why whenever you see me in my writings, when I reference that, when I want to be really accurate, I make sure I throw that hybrid constitutional confederacy or hybrid constitutional republic. Either way, we don't have any time left. But what we're going to do is we're going to kind of build and slowly put the pieces together, because I'm with Mr. Winters. We're going to kind of start all over again and talk about the basis of common law prior to the Declaration moving forward. And you're going to find this conversation eye-opening, because over the next two episodes, you will I hope you get the epiphany. And if you do, let us know. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.